He's right. It is me. Hi, Dr. Morgan here. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Okay, I want to lay out a story for you that took place maybe 17 years ago. I could be wrong, but it's probably close to that. Anyway, it was one of those summer days. I was going to get the kids in the car and take them to one of those water parks, and there's like a small one in Garland, Texas. It's not the one that's called Hurricane Harbor or Wet and Wild or one of those in Arlington. It's just a small family-owned one, but I kind of like it. Pretty easy to navigate. It seems to be very family-friendly. Maybe it was significantly cheaper than the other ones. That may have been one of the factors. But that particular day, I'm not going to say it was overcast. I think it was at the start, but as the day went on, the sun just burned through the clouds and became stronger and stronger and more intense. And of course, this is during the summertime, so you have literally exposure to the most intense rays of the sun, right? Okay, well, that particular day, I have a daughter. Her name is Jane. And for some reason, she just had a very intense craving for mangoes. And I literally cannot remember the number of mangoes that she had eaten that morning before we got to the water park. But I'm going to guess 4 to 6. I could be wrong about that. But you know, what do you do when a child is craving something that's good and God has made? Isn't that a lot better choice than giving them something that's like a pre-packaged processed junk food? Anyway, you already know the answer to that. But she was the only one that ate mangoes that morning. I remember that day, every one of us, all the kids including me, probably had some degree of sunburn. Except one person in the family. And guess who that was? That was Jane. She had no sunburn whatsoever, and there was no use of sunscreen. She was out in the sun all day long. Not a drop of redness was on her skin from being burned. Everybody else? Yes. And I guess I'm trying to illustrate a point here. Very simple. Your skin requires nutrients, and you've got to have nutrients to keep it in great working order. One of the things that's found in mangoes would be carotenoids. Very, very interesting compound. And so I guess what I'm proposing to you is, what if these foods that God has given us are designed to make us very successful in the realm of maintaining the integrity of our skin and our health? Well, yeah. So I was kind of curious this morning. I thought to myself, okay, if she could eat mangoes and that would completely prevent her skin from experiencing massive free radical damage and burning and being roasted by the sun, what else could mangoes do? So I did just a little bit of literature search, and what I want to do is just share a little bit with you about mangoes. I've read before that mangoes are like apples, but in South America, or the other side of the equator. And I find that very intriguing and interesting. So whereas we might have 285 varieties of apples, you know, in North America, they may have exactly that many in South America. And there was research conducted in the year 2002 by Dr. Sue Percival. She's an associate professor at the University of Florida's Institute for Food and Agricultural Sciences. Confirmed and expanded upon earlier research conducted at the University of Hawaii in 1997. In that particular study, white blood cells from mice were exposed to cancer-causing substances, and then they exposed them to mango extract. What's a mango extract? Well, it comes from a mango. Lab tests showed the mango's ability to stop normal cells from turning into cancer cells. Well, that caught my attention. How many times have you been at, let's just say, church, and they're offering maybe announcements, and they're trying to tell you everyone that needs to have prayers because they're sick? Well, quite often, a person will have a, they'll have an illness where it may be mentioned their white blood cell count is really, really low. Well, you know that that's not good. When your white blood cell count's low, that is when your body is most vulnerable to, say, infection. Infection is absolutely one of the greatest killers of all time. Probably prior to modern times, infection probably took lives faster than anything else. especially heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. And so this is very intriguing to me, how you can add mango extract, and that prevents normal white blood cells from turning into cancerous cells. So there must be some health-promoting property, just like my daughter Jane. What did the mangoes do? Well, they provide her a boatload of mango extracts. No, they're probably called carotenoids or carotenes. Anyway, Dr. Percival compared an extract containing mangoes carotenes to water-soluble mango extract in order to test their effectiveness against cancer cell formation. According to her findings, mango's water-soluble portion was about 10 times as effective in preventing cancer cell formation as its carotenes. Okay. Compounds in the aqueous portion of the mango include not only water-soluble nutrients such as vitamin C, but also flavonoid compounds that contribute to mango's anti-cancer effect. Furthermore, there is human evidence that demonstrates that mangoes can help fight cancer. So this one is an interesting one. And this is probably a rare form of cancer, but I've seen a few cases over the last 32 years. A diet analysis of 64 patients that have gallbladder cancer and then 101 patients with gallstones, they showed that mango consumption was correlated with a 60% reduction in the risk of gallbladder cancer. That is the highest reduction in the risk of this type of cancer found in any fruit or vegetable. That is interesting. Now, I don't have the study right in front of me. I'm just reading the abstract. But when it said 64 patients with gallbladder cancer and 101 with gallstones, I thought to myself, why are they bringing up the gallstones? Well, if a person has gallstones, that's a pretty good clue that there's some ongoing level of irritation or inflammation in the gallbladder. Need you to remember all the old-time doctors, I'm reminding you again, and myself, they used to call the gallbladder the trash can, meaning the most toxic waste and poison that your body needs to detoxify. Gallbladder is a part of that deal. So you want the gallbladder to be healthy. Mangoes also contain a number of enzymes, including one similar to papain and papayas, and that's been shown to greatly improve digestion. Okay? Could you imagine if a person had continual ongoing tummy trouble? They never felt good. And all of a sudden, they try eating a little bit of mango, and that goes away. Well, there's a reason why. Now, this one right here, this is really where I'm going toward right here. Because this is a whole different concept than what you might normally think about or what you may have heard. I realize that we're preached a narrative, and that narrative says there's only one way to treat an infection or to prevent an infection, but let me run this past you. And then you just see if maybe this kind of piques your interest on this topic. Now, this next one that I found, it came from the Department of Epidemiology and International Health at the University of Alabama. So if it comes from the University of Alabama, hey, roll tide, it's got to be good. But in this article, or in this study, they're looking at one thing. Does the mango offer protection against children that get infections? And what they did was, they looked at 176 Gambian children in which those who received dried mango, and you can buy dried mango at the store or make it yourself, when these kids consumed dried mango, they were found to have much higher levels of retinol, which is vitamin A, than those that were given a placebo. No, I don't know what the placebo was, but I'm guessing it was frosted mini wheats. No, I'm just joking. I don't know. Since vitamin A's nickname is called the anti-infective vitamin, that's what the A is for, anti-infective. Anybody want the anti-infective vitamin? Well, yeah. The mango may literally be a life-saving fruit in developing countries where there is a severe seasonal shortage of carotenoid or vitamin A-rich foods. In other studies indicating mango's protective effects on overall health, infants in Gambia and also India, they were found to have the very best gut integrity, and thus the least intestinal disease and diarrhea during the 3 months where mangoes were in the season each country. Isn't that interesting? They have a 3 month window when the mangoes are in season. And of course, if you feed it to infants that are in Gambia and also India, that's when they don't have the severe diarrhea or the gut infection. You know, most people that are listening to this program, they've heard of the idea of a leaky gut, or maybe a term called SIBO, which stands for small intestine bacterial overgrowth, or sometimes it's called a hyperpermeable gut. It's just like the skin on the back of a woman or a man's hands. When it becomes so thin and so weak and brittle, it doesn't take much for it to tear, so they might have just a little scrape on something. Normally, that wouldn't even be a bruise on the back of your hand or the skin. But if your skin is super thin, oh, it just tears like a thin sheet of rice paper. I think one of the Bibles that I have, it's made of rice paper, and the pages are super thin. I like it. I think it's cool. But the lining of your gut becomes so much thinner. And when it becomes thinner, guess what? That's when you're vulnerable to disease. Are you with me on that? And so I'm just talking about the inner skin right here, but what is the outer skin? Well, that's what covers your body. And so when my daughter ate the mangoes, she had no sunburn whatsoever. I just thought that was so interesting. Not surprisingly, the mango was also shown in a study conducted in Mexico to provide protection against Giardia. Do you know what Giardia is? Oh my goodness, you don't want that. That's like a protozoa that gives you Montezuma's revenge, or a beaver fever. Sometimes it's been dubbed traveler's diarrhea. If you're in Mexico and they say, we want you to drink from our sacred well and the water looks pretty dirty, even if it looks clear, don't do it. Your body's not used to those organisms. It says not only was the mango found to eliminate Giardia, but it did so just as well as tinidazole, which is a drug that's commonly used to treat Giardia infection. Now, that's interesting. They can either give you a pharmaceutical drug to treat an infection of the gut, or they can give you mango. With mango, though, what is it really doing? It's supplying your body with the elements or the nutrients or the vitamins that it needs to function properly. Isn't that like an amazing concept? All you do is give the body what it needs, and guess what? The body functions great when you give it what it wants. What happens if you don't give the body what it needs? Well, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's not done properly. Okay, what else did I write right here? Oh, yeah. Now, this one I know I don't have a resource for, but I'm looking at it in a book. It's called The Encyclopedia of Healing Foods, and there's no reference by it. But it says that mango juice was poured into a test tube that contained viruses, and shortly thereafter, the viruses were destroyed. I'm just curious. I wonder what would happen to the COVID-19 or the SARS-1-2-3-4-5 or the Delta variant or the Omicron. Anyway, that's interesting. Because of the high iron content of the mango in India, mangoes are used as blood builders and are suggested for the treatment of anemia, which I don't know that I've seen somebody do that, but hey, I'm all for it. People who suffer from muscle cramps, they have stress and heart problems, they benefit from the higher potassium and the magnesium content, which helps those that might even have a condition called acidosis. We want to make the body more alkaline. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open. You got to have some question of some kind. Everybody wants to be a good steward of their body. And you know what? You need to be your own best advocate. You can't put your entire future and health in the hands of someone that just sits in front of you for 15 to 30 seconds and writes a prescription. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying you really can't learn a whole lot about the human body if you don't ask the person questions or the patient, and then you don't do an examination. So it's good that you want to take care of yourself. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. Kind of what I thought about, though, Wouldn't it be fun if you had a food dehydrator and you cut up some mango today and made your own? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Morgan. I was listening to you talk about the leaky gut and everything. Well, what about the opposite of that when it's, you know, we all stopped up is for that?
Are you talking about constipation?
Yes.
Okay, well, one of the things you got to do is you got to address the reasons why. So let me just kind of give you a running list right here. There is a hormone called motilin. To me, it sounds like the word motility or movement, something like that. That's based on the amount of water a person consumes. And so if somebody's suffering from constipation, at least that's one part of the equation you got to get right. Drink adequate water, hydrate your body well, and give your bowels a chance to do their job. If a stool stays in the bowels too long, it becomes dried out and dehydrated. So when you have a bowel movement, instead of being nice and smooth and well-formed, it comes out like small, hard pebbles. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's constipation or dehydration.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I would say about 90% of what I drink is water.
Oh, good job. Excellent.
Because I don't care for Cokes and all that. I might have a sip or two, but, yeah, my majority of it is water.
If I had to choose just one mineral, and I realize I probably shouldn't do this, but magnesium can be a game changer for so many people when it comes to bowels that don't move properly. So just making sure that you play with magnesium, when I say play with it, you might start off just by taking the doses on the label. So if you take a form called magnesium glycinate or magnesium citrate or magnesium citrate malate or magnesium lactate, stuff like that, you can start off with what the manufacturer recommends, but you can also just increase it. I know I'm going on a rabbit trail just for a second, but as of the year 1990, I want to say 5 or 1998, the number one thing that they would do in the hospitals, if somebody came in and they were having a stroke or a heart attack, they would give them an IV with magnesium sulfate in it. Now, magnesium sulfate is known as Epsom salt. Have you ever heard of Epsom salt before?
Oh, yeah.
But it was so extremely effective at helping to, you know, negate the damage from the heart attack and help them restore circulation. But once other drugs came online, like a lady told me this week, she said, there's one drug that I'm taking. I want to say, oh, maybe it was called Entresto. But it was a blood-thinning drug. And she says, you know what this costs me every month? And I said, no. She said, $450. Now, I'm not telling you how to think about this, but magnesium is very, very inexpensive. It's very, very effective. Right. And so when you're constipated, you want to make sure that you give your body plenty of magnesium just to help the bowels with their normal peristaltic movement and activity of the smooth muscle. So you can kind of play with magnesium. You can even increase the dose over time. Now, if you take way too much of it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a loose bowel movement. You're going to say, look at Dr. Morgan, he sabotaged me. Here I am sitting in church, and I took a whole bottle of magnesium. I'll never trust him again. No, I'm only joking about that. The next thing is, and this is really number one, if I can say it this way. I've got like two or three more points, but I'm going to try to help flesh this out. You have an organ system in your body called the liver. The liver is incredible. I can't even begin to tell you all the great things it does to help us to maintain our health. It's phenomenal. But one of the things your liver does at nighttime when you sleep, it's supposed to make a substance called bile. Now, bile, some of it's going to go from the bile ducts of your liver where it's manufactured into the gallbladder. And there it begins to potentiate or become more potent, I guess I should say. And it becomes more stronger, potent, more concentrated. And so when you eat food that contains especially fat, let's just say for breakfast you have an omelet and an avocado, that would be a generous amount of fat, and you get the chemical signal, hey, we need to release some bile from the liver and gallbladder into the intestines just to help absorb the nutrients from the food and to help digest it. But bile, it is phenomenal in its ability to cause peristaltic contractions. That means it greatly improves the efficiency of your bowels and how they transport the meal that you've eaten into the parts that can't be digested, like undigestible fiber, and that's how you have a bowel movement. So if you're looking at improving the quality of bile, it is going to be really, really hard to beat beets. I kind of tried to make a play on words, beet beets. You heard that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Anyway, but for some people, if they're constipated, you could take a beet, you could put it in the blender. If you want to put a little bit of unfiltered apple juice or water with it, or you could take beet powder. Now, I got to give you one caution. There was one news brief that came to my office about 3 or 4 months ago, and they were just saying, we want to make you aware there's been a batch of beets that has come from a country by the name of China, and it's been heavily contaminated. Now, I know it had some heavy metals, but I thought to myself, okay, you may not want to consume any beet extracts if they come from China. So just look for organic American beets. And if that's what Super Beets is, then you could try that. But a real beet, man, they are phenomenal at helping to improve bowel elimination and bowel function. Sometimes I have a person just take a blender, like a Vitamix or something, that could pulverize a V8 engine and leave no evidence of it.
Mm-hmm.
If your husband fell in a Vitamixer, he'd never get out alive. He'd be pulverized. The blades are that powerful. Don't let him fall in. But
right.
If you took a beet with just a little bit of lemon juice and maybe 2 tablespoons of olive oil and apple juice, that would be a very effective remedy for trying to lube up your intestines, which is maybe just my loose talk on describing what has to happen. But the olive oil at 2 tablespoons with the beet and a little bit of apple juice and lemon juice, oh my goodness, that is going to help clean and lube up your liver, your gallbladder, your intestines. It's worth a shot. And plus, it's so nutrient dense. Even one of the latest studies demonstrated that when people would consume beet powder just a little bit and stir it in mm-hmm. water and drink it down, not everybody likes that, but that's fine, they had so much more stamina and endurance than what they had before. Now, is there anybody that's going to call me and say, Dr. Morgan, I have too much energy, I'm too healthy, what do I do to destroy that? Well, I could tell them real fast what to do to destroy it. We're not going there. But you're trying to establish bowels that work really, really well. Now, the next thing, I'm sorry, that makes sense?
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Now, there's one structure that I find over and over again that's not working right. It's called the ileocecal valve. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No, sir.
Let's just say that your small intestine is exactly 21 feet long. I mean, I could take it out and measure it, but an autopsy doesn't, there's no coming back from that. But 21 feet long, that's where you absorb and extract all the good things from the food that you're eating. So if you have carrots, well, guess what? You're going to get some good vitamin C and beta carotene and carotenoids and other compounds that your body actually needs to be healthy and strong. But at the end of that 21 feet of your small intestine, that's where it joins the cecum or your colon. And so there's a flap, or I'm going to call it a ring-like valve, even though it's not exactly that, but there's a valve in there that either opens, it allows the waste to go from your small intestine into your large bowel, but then it's supposed to close off again. Now, I know this is sort of a semi-crude example, so forgive me, but how many diapers have you changed in your lifetime on a baby?
Too many for me to count.
That would be 4.3 billion, right? Well,
yes.
You know that the baby, when they go poop, they have that anal sphincter that opens, but it closes immediately. And it has to. If it doesn't close, could you imagine how that would allow germs and debris to enter the colon and could lead to infection potentially? That'd be bad. Well, your ileocecal valve usually... If I find a person that has really stubborn constipation where they just can't solve it, it's usually because they have a defective or a spastic or a closed ileocecal valve. And so please challenge anything that I'm saying and look it up for yourself. But if you typed in on your computer closed ileocecal valve and what to do about it, I think you'll come up with some great information. But the two most common things that I see that would contribute to that is, number one, a food allergy. And let's just say it this way, if you're eating a food that your immune system finds highly offensive, it's going to generate inflammation. And if that inflammation causes that ileocecal valve to stay jammed shut, guess what you're going to have? Constipation city.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the ileocecal valve is stuck and staying more closed than what it should be, it's either because a person's eating a food that just doesn't agree with them, like an allergy, or number two, it's going to be they have an overgrowth of some type of toxic bacteria that's releasing its waste, causing tremendous irritation right there. So the solution to that is find out what you're allergic to, or do an elimination diet and see if your bowels don't work a whole lot better. Now, can I just cut to the chase and tell you where the top two foods are that cause constipation?
Yes.
Dairy and sugar. I don't even have to be that smart. I can just ask a person, what happened when you stopped dairy? They go, oh, I'm pooping like crazy now. I mean, or normally, I should say. And so...
Well, would, like, almond or coconut milk be considered as a dairy? I mean, I use it more than
No, you're doing great there. See, you just found a good solution to a problem. If you're going to avoid dairy that comes from a cow, you're thinking to yourself, well, what do I consume in this place? And that could be coconut milk or almond milk or something like that.
Okay.
I think coconut milk is awesome.
Yes, it is.
You are going to be making a coconut cream pie later today, aren't you?
Never can tell.
And so, yeah, you would do that. But historically, it's easy for me to talk about these things because I do this all the time. But if you look up closed ileocecal valve, I think you're going to find that topic very intriguing. And some of the techniques that I use are just massaging it. And I just teach a person, if I draw an imaginary diagonal line from the center of your belly button to the front of the hip bone, and when I say the hip bone, it's that bony prominence exactly at your waist in the front of the pelvis, but halfway in between that line, or in the middle of that line, that's your ileocecal valve. And if you were to push down there firmly, you might tell me, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was that tender or that hurts. Not that I'm good at reading people's faces when they scream in pain when I touch theirs, but... And so, the other thing that I look at when it comes to an ileocecal valve, there is a vegetable. It comes from the radish family, so it's real strong and potent. It's got a lot of sulfur. It's called Spanish black radish. But I always think, when I want to help a person's body, like a woman's, detoxify better and get cleaner, then Spanish black radish is one of the things that I might look at and then test to see if it works. Of course, part of my job is asking a person, well, how do you feel now? Are you better than what you were? And they go, yes, so much. I'm going, well, what do you think did that? And they go, you know what? I've tried taking Spanish black radish, and I've tried not taking it. I just feel so much better when I take it. And so there's nutrients in the Spanish black radish that are so good at helping the body clean itself and detoxify. And so I'm very fond of that.
So which would be better, the beet powder and recipe stuff, or the black radish?
Well, both of them work individually by their own mechanisms, but you can try either one and see what happens. You got nothing to lose. But as long as you're trying something, if you have a good, pleasant result, you could tell me just 2 tablespoons of olive oil and a little bit of apple juice every morning does the trick for you.
Okay, and a little bit of beet powder?
You could, yeah, you sure could. Just make it sure it says product of the USA, 100% organic.
Right.
Now, if you don't mind paying, 10 cents on the dollar for something from China that's contaminated with toxins, I guess you could do that.
No,
but you're going to find it real quick. You may have another problem.
Right. Okay, well, I sure do appreciate all your help.
You're welcome. Have a great day, ma'am, and a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you very much. Okay. Bye-bye. Alrighty, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. Alright, here we go. Welcome to the program. I'm Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good, Dr. Morgan. I tripped over my house shoes 5 months ago, and started, I had terrible pain and put ice on my back immediately. It was about 3 or 4 in the morning or something like that. Anyway, I went back to sleep and woke up and it's just kind of stayed on the couch all day long, and gradually my back got better. But every now and then I would have these muscle spasms, and I decided, I'll give it a while. It's a bad sprain. So 5 months later now, I've been to the doctor, had MRI, and I've been told I've got severe pinching of the nerves between lumbar 3 and 4 and moderate pinching in between 2 and 3. Surgery would alleviate it. I mean, I went in saying I don't want surgery, I don't want drugs, maybe physical therapy. But an MRI revealed there's some bone spurs that probably were there before the fall, and the fall just kind of made it happen. I mean, I don't have pain very much. I haven't taken anything for it. I just kind of squat to stretch the muscles out, and
that's
it relieves the spasm. But I mean, there's some problem, you know, there's damage, and I wondered, so he's going to give me some injections whenever they give me a call and get that scheduled. But did those ever go away, the bone spurs?
Is
it possible?
It rarely. Once they're there, they're there.
Hmm.
But are they telling you the bone spurs are the root cause of the problem or the pain?
Yes. I think my posture hasn't been as good since I quit taking ballet 20 years ago also. And
it's funny you should say that. I was going to recommend you start back up.
Yes. I mean, I miss it a lot. I do stretch. I don't. But I've been doing a lot of more strenuous work.
Did you say earlier that your back doesn't hurt you all the time?
Right, it doesn't hurt me.
I'm telling you, this is like the best situation of all time. I mean, those bone spurs—that's from an injury that took place 30 years ago. That's just as simple as that.
Hmm.
Or maybe a Model T Ford ran over you when you were a baby. But that's just a joke. But what probably happened was there was an injury a long time ago. It could have been in your childhood, but that's the reason that bone spurs form, is because you're trying to stabilize a weakened area that's had an injury to it. So, but listen, I'm telling you right now, out of all the people I could talk to, yours is the best situation of all time. I know that's kind of hard to believe it the way I'm saying it, but you don't hurt all the time. If anybody's going to have a chance to get well, it's going to be you. And I tell you what I would do if it were me. What I would do is, number one, I'd start taking glucosamine sulfate and MSM.
I've been taking it.
You're smart. The other thing, and I have absolutely zero research on this, you could say, Dr. Morgan, I don't believe you, I don't like this, but I'm telling you, it works. Anytime there's been an injury to the disc or there's a bone spur that's inflamed, I always think about taking aloe vera. And you can do whatever you like. If you want to take aloe vera juice, you can. If you want to take it in capsule form, you can. If you want to take it in the gel form, fine by me. If you want to start a farm raising aloe vera and growing them just for your spine and your disc and your muscles, you can do that also. I think that'd be like a home run.
I've got gobs of aloe vera leaves on a couple of plants.
Those are just waiting to be consumed by your digestive tract. Now, aloe vera, do you mind if I talk about this just for a little bit?
Go ahead.
All right. I am convinced by what I've seen in my own observation that aloe vera really helps people recover from injuries, because I think it helps rejuvenate the disc and the ligaments and the tendons. Now, I have absolutely zero scientific proof that I can offer you. I'm all about reading studies, and just like I was reading the articles about, I mean, I've got articles right here concerning, you know, how cranberries benefit the human urinary tract. I don't think I have any on aloe vera and this situation right here, but I'm telling you, aloe vera has got to be one of the greatest rejuvenators of all time. I'm going to tell you just a very quick story. It may not be super relevant, but I had a lady years ago. She came to see me, and she had a total hip replacement. I want to say it was the right hip. And she was showing me, she said, you see this? It hurts all the time. It ain't going away. This is like a year and a half later. I'm in misery. And I noticed that her surgical incision, or the scar, was like deeply purple, and it was just very discolored and red. And I said, well, that ain't right.
Mm.
And so what she chose to do, and I'm sure I had nothing to do with the suggestion. She did it on her own. She took an aloe vera leaf, like what you're talking about, and filleted it right down the middle. And before she went to bed at night, she took kind of the gooey, gelatinous liquid portion of the filleted leaf, and she packed it right on top of that scar. And and the next morning, she said, "You're not going to believe this. It's pulled all that discoloration out of there. It's looking better." I said, "Really?" Anyway, she did that for like about 2 or 3 weeks, and all the pain just went away. I'm just telling you, aloe vera is amazing. If you told me you wanted to go to the health food store and you wanted to get the greatest lotion of all time for the skin for following a sunburn, there's nothing that's going to compete with the aloe vera plant. I mean, that's all you need. So you've got it. Yes, thank you. And so when you're trying to recondition in an injury and you just kind of tripped over your slippers, and so it's not like you were lifting a transmission out of a pickup to swap it out. It was just a freak accident, but it exposed that you've got a weakness in your spine. And so what do? The number one thing is you got to restore normal function. That's called exercise. So whether it's ballet or Pilates or yoga, there's a book that I've used a lot called Core Performance by Mark Verstegen.
Right.
If you want to use a used copy of it, you can't have mine because I've already given out 5 copies, and everybody that borrows it develops amnesia. I never get them back. And so if you will, you could do those exercises, but they're designed to restore and heal those areas that are injured. And that's what you need to do. The other thing that I might consider doing is rubbing fresh lemon juice all over the muscles. Sure, it's sticky. How does that affect me if your entire spine is sticky? That doesn't bother me at all. And then you rub unfiltered extra... I was trying to make a joke by saying that. But then you take unfiltered extra virgin olive oil. And the reason I like the unfiltered olive oil is because it's richer in vitamins and minerals and nutrients and chlorophyll. You've got nothing to lose by rubbing chlorophyll-rich olive oil all over the injured area of your body. And please, I want you just to remember, hold in your mind, that God has designed the body to heal and repair if you just do what it takes to heal. And sometimes you have to change your circumstances. Huh?
You're talking about topically, not taking internally.
Well, if you have severe constipation, taking internally should solve your problem really, really quickly.
No.
Okay.
No. No, it's if I just move a certain way, I'll have a spasm in my back. And then at occasions it does go down my left leg and right leg just a little bit, just the back of my thighs just a little bit, or my hip.
Have you been to a massage therapist to work those knots out?
I don't even get a knot. I'll just lean over, support my weight, and just relax and hold my tummy tight and just relax those muscles, and it goes away.
Well, cool. Well, let me rephrase that. Have you gone to a massage therapist for them to work on your lower back to see if they find any knots?
Never.
Would you consider doing that?
Yeah, I would consider that.
Okay, well, it may be surprising to you. A lot of people tell me, like, I had no idea there was a ropey knot the size of my fist deep in a muscle. But in your situation, are you kidding me? You're an athlete. You're a ballerina. Is your first name Angelina?
No.
Oh, I think there's a book called Angelina Ballerina. You know that one, don't you?
No, I don't.
Well, it's a children's book. You'll dig it. But
well, I also, after we moved into our new house a year ago in the summer, we started the process of I'd go across the yard and then go to the old house that was being moved away, and the front porch was busted up, concrete, and I would lift the heavy pieces of concrete and throw them into my neighbor's trailer so he could. Whatever, put them in his
field. Are you kidding me? Those things are heavy.
Yeah, and I also had my hands wrapped up from after having carpal tunnel surgery, so I had a lot of ice bandages on my hands. But I got a good sauna bath by doing that in the summer.
Well, that's good. Well, you know what? Here's the situation. You've got inflammation in your back, and you're trying to figure out how to do it. This is a starting point.
I'm not lifting any more concrete, so.
Well, I think your idea to start a concrete moving business probably should go on hold for the time being.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, wait till you're back as well. Then we'll try to wreck your back again. No, I'm joking about that.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, any type of distraction technique is just like spectacular. But if you bought a $2.50 fair used copy of Core Performance, that may be so simple That's what I did to solve my chronic back problem. It was amazing. It took about a month of doing the exercises, but after that, never any trouble since.
So, wow. Well, I've written that book down more than once when you've talked about it on the radio.
I mean, it was written back in the 1990s, but still, I think the information is still valid.
Yeah. Well, were you ever diagnosed with bone spurs in your back?
No, never. And you know what? I'm not like other people. I haven't had that type of injury where I've needed an MRI or a CAT scan. And you know what? I have no problem with that. There's some people that come to see me and they'll say, I haven't been to a doctor in 40 years. I'm going, are you okay with that? And they're saying, well, I've outlived all my family. I'm going, well, evidently you've got a good plan. So, no, ma'am, I'm not trying to say that I've had bone spurs at all, but I've had my fair share of significant injuries where, you know, you still have to repair and heal. But in your situation, bone spurs are going to occur for one reason. You've had an injury, and it's the way that your body stabilizes a weak area. Now, this is only my analogy, but you know what a pier and beam foundation is, don't you, on a house?
I miss it terribly.
That's right. Yeah,
a lot
easier on your bones and joints than what concrete is. Concrete is totally unforgiving, but with a pier and beam foundation, what do you do if termites eat all the middle beams and all of a sudden your kitchen floor is sagging 6 inches below everywhere else? Well, you tell your husband, could you please repair that? And so he goes over there and jacks it up, but because the beams have been destroyed by the termites, he's going to say, what if I take 2 by 12 inches wide by 20 feet long, what if I put these and I bolster that weakened segment after I get rid of the termites? Well, all of a sudden your kitchen floor is straight again. But just like your body will start laying down bone spurs, like your husband put 2 boards on either side of that weak beam that attaches, that sits on the pier, but they're trying to fortify it, and that's what your body's trying to do. So your options are stretching and flexibility. If you went to a website called youtube.com, you might even look in a series of videos called MOVNAT. That's just short for movement natural or natural movement. But the MoveNAT videos, they just cut right to the chase, and you'll just see somebody demonstrate how do you stretch out the lower back when there's been an injury. But you're trying to restore normal motion. So when I say you're an athlete, didn't you, when you took ballet, command your body to make it obey you and do what you told it to do?
I still pretty much do.
Well, but we need to work on healing that area. And so there's things that you can take internally that help. Like I mentioned aloe vera earlier. There's things that you can apply topically. But all of those, they help the body to heal.
Yeah.
As long as you have inflammation, that means your body's trying to repair it. So why don't we just do this?
Yeah.
Why don't we just help your body repair itself?
Well, walking on a new foundation, which is concrete, even though there's a little bit of cushion under the man-made floor, it's still, my ankles tell me every morning, I don't like this slab foundation under this house. So it's a change. And in 69, that's a drastic change.
Maybe you should go walking up and down the beach today where it's a little bit softer.
Yeah, well, I walk out to my garden a lot, and I try to do that barefooted.
Good job.
But anyway, thank you. I'll try that.
You're welcome. Thank you, ma'am. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You too.
All righty, there's a phone line once again open. This program is Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. All right. Good morning. Welcome to the program. You'll have
good
to turn
morning.
The radio off.
Can you hear me?
No, not until you turn your radio off.
Oh, okay.
Thank
you,
ma'am.
You can hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was listening to the back, the lady with the back problem.
Yeah.
Just then. Okay. My doctor told me because my right leg been going numb. And she took an MRI and she says from my back. And then I heard you say, go take massages. Because they want me to do an injection, and I don't want to do that.
Does your leg pain hurt work? Does your leg hurt you worse, or is it more numb in the back?
It really goes numb when I go to sleep.
So when you lay down?
When I lay down, and when I wake up, it's getting worse and worse. I can't feel my leg, and I have to get up to make it come alive.
How long has it been that way?
Oh, like over a year. Over a year.
You're not describing this like you are sitting in a church service and you have your legs crossed, and then when it's time to respond to the invitation song, you stand up and your legs are tingling. You don't mean that, do you?
No, sir.
So you're telling me you just lose the sensation of your leg. Well, what do you do to make the sensation come back?
I have to get up out of bed and move around.
How long does that take?
It takes a good 15 minutes to get it back just normal.
But it does go back to normal after 15 minutes of moving around?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
that's a good sign. Well,
they're saying it's my back, though. And they say if you get an injection that away,
Yeah, and I really respect what they're telling you. However, let me just give you a few recommendations right here. What if you purchased a used copy of that book that I told the previous caller about? It's called Core Performance, and the gentleman's name is Mark Verstegen. And I'm not telling you it's the only book, but it's one that I'm familiar with, and it works very, very well to improve the back. That's what it's designed to do.
Core Performance.
Yeah, and you know what? I have no trouble buying a used copy from Goodwill in Tacoma, Washington, which is where I think my last one came from. I think I paid $3 for shipping and $2 for the book.
Okay.
$5.
buy again?
His last name is Verstegen, Verstegen, I think.
Okay, Verstegen.
But the book is called Core Performance. C-O-R-E. If you went on like a book-selling website like Amazon or eBay, you'd find one real quick. And you know, if you want a new one, you can buy it for $28.95, but I just like the $2 version. If it says it's in fair condition, sold to me.
Okay. And when I heard the other lady about aloe vera, and
absolutely,
like if you have the juice or something for your insides, or drink aloe vera juice, it's a very good something to do.
Yes, ma'am, and you've got nothing to lose by trying it. You can only benefit. Now, the next thing that I would say, I know they want to give you injections of like lidocaine and naproxen and cortisol, stuff like that, prednisone. That doesn't really do anything to make your disc stronger or healthier. It just might momentarily get rid of some of the inflammation. You still have to address the root cause of the problem. And so that book that I told you about, that will help you get your strength back. And, you know, after doing this for 32 years, you can hold the back in alignment and take the pressure off the disc and the nerves if the muscles are weak. Just can't be done. So if you work on that to improve yourself, see if there's tremendous fruit for your labors.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's a pleasure getting in to you.
I'm glad you made it. That's great.
You.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. I hope you have a really, really good weekend.
Okay. And Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. 903-586-5257. There's 10 minutes exactly left in the program. Plenty of time for a phone call. If you'd like to call, 903-586-5257. As I look at my research on cranberries, I wonder if I should talk about cranberries. For example, in the year 1994, there was a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. So what I'm thinking is, if the American Medical Association published this article, then they must approve of it, and I'm liking that. A placebo-controlled trial of 153 elderly women, when they took cranberries, it helped prevent UTIs. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great, thank you. Thanks for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate all your wealth of information that you share with us.
Well, you're sure welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I've got two things. I know we're short on time. I'll touch on them and then let you have it and talk to me. I have a very precious friend who's going through some chemotherapy for cancer. She's tried to do everything as natural as possible, but this is just a beast of a thing. She's on a clinical trial, and she suffers with nausea after the treatment. So I'm just wondering, what can she do? And I'm sorry I don't have information about exactly what they're using or whatever, but just what can she do with nausea? She's very, very open to natural things. I've told her about you. I'm also saying, you know, if you could find some essential oils.
You and I are on the same wavelength. You know, yes. The essential oil I'm going to recommend?
What?
Clove.
Mm-hmm.
One drop. I mean, she can... Now, tell me, when is the most common time for her to have the severe nausea?
After.
After what?
After the treatment. They've given her a patch to put on to help, and she said that does help if she wear... And I don't know what the patch is all about, so... But
well,
she said
if they're giving her a patch of some drug to try to offset the nausea, whether it's Zofran or meclizine or whatever the stuff is, or an opioid drug. I mean, morphine would take it away, but that's not a good thing. I mean, it's so addictive, it's unbelievable. One of the things that popped up in my mind when you started telling me the story about this friend that you love is I read this article about people that had severe side effects from chemotherapy and nausea, and what they did was they gave them like one of those super green powders, but I remember one of the things it had was barley. And I was reading in the Bible the other day about a woman named Rispa, and she watched over her sons through the barley harvesting season. That's probably a waste of time. But when they gave them this green powder that had wheatgrass and barley, it really, really reduced the symptoms. But then again, what would green stuff have? It would have a high concentration of chlorophyll. Now, one of the things that I know that I would try if I could experiment, I would give her fat-soluble chlorophyll just in a gel cap form, swallow it, and see if that really, really makes it go away. The clove oil, though, I'm going to say, let's just start off with just one drop and a little bit of water. You know clove oil is pretty strong stuff, don't you?
Yes.
All she can do is try that and see if that greatly helps with just the horrible, horrific nausea that she's got. I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Right. Now then, should she drink this like before, during, and after?
Absolutely. Okay. She can try it coming and going to see which way works the best. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll tell a person, you need to do a preemptive strike. Right. I know what they're telling you about the chemotherapy, but you know, if it was me, I'd probably take a shot of aloe vera and I'd take some wheatgrass or barley grass powder or chlorophyll prior to that. She could even try the drop of clove oil. Excuse me. So anytime that there's nausea, you know what that's from. That's just her body's just being overwhelmed with toxic poison. I'm not trying to be negative, and if she's listening, that's not my intention, is to be critical about that. But the truth of the matter is, chemotherapy is pure poison. They're just hoping it kills the cancer, and they're hoping that your healthy, normal cells can survive the chemotherapy. Does that make sense?
Yes, and this is a very aggressive form of cancer.
Well, then,
and they've been fighting it naturally as long as they can, and putting off doing the chemotherapy. But it was either chemo or plan a funeral, from what I understand.
Well, let me. I'm not going to comment on that as much as I'm going to say she needs coffee retention enemas.
Okay.
In my opinion, that's the only way through this, because you can't get rid of all the toxic debris without that.
Okay.
So that's an idea right there also.
Okay. I was looking up and I saw peppermint oil was a good one to do also. Like,
hey, that's great. If peppermint oil quickly works, man, I agree with you. I would totally do it.
Yeah, and they were talking, you know, like put it in lotion or a carrier oil of some sort and put it on the spot, like the bottom of the feet or to on the wrist or, you know, back of the neck somewhere.
When I was in chiropractic college back in the 80s, I'm talking about the 1980s, not the 1880s, in case you're going to say that. But we would just take a clove of garlic and break it in half and rub it on somebody's toe, and it would almost take like about 1 minute, and they'd say, "What is that garlic I taste in my mouth? What did you rub on my toe?" It's amazing how fast it can travel and disperse throughout the body, isn't it?
Yes.
And so I like the idea of peppermint oil. Give it a shot. See if that really works.
Okay. And they're also talking about diffusing it. And then my last question is, you were talking a little earlier about detoxing, so I'm interested in doing some of that, but I know that I need to prepare my body for whatever. So what is a good prep? And then
if you had a juicer and you could run some celery, a lemon, if you wanted to taste good, you might put a couple of carrots and an apple in there and a little bit of chunk of ginger root. You'll start detoxing right away, and that's usually very gentle. Now there's a lot of studies on this, but an infrared sauna is phenomenal for detoxing the body.
Okay.
But
do you have one of those at your office?
Yeah, I do. No, I don't.
Okay.
if I remove the tiles in the ceiling and you crawl up here in the summertime, you're gonna sweat all right. No, I do have an infrared sauna though.
Okay.
Just not celery, at my office, lemon. But I love it. It's fabulous.
Okay, celery, lemon, carrot.
That's
ginger.
Right. A little bitty chunk of ginger juice. I know I'm saying that kind of quickly, but ginger. That stuff is phenomenal when you're trying to drain poison from the body. And I know earlier this morning, I mentioned to the first lady that called, she was so sweet. I think I talked about the herb called Spanish black radish.
Yes.
There's also dandelion root. So if you wanted to have dandelion root tea, anytime that you see an herbal name that says Taxicum officinalis, anytime you see an herb that has the word officinalis, that means this is the real deal. This is big time.
Okay.
And so officinalis is like a clue that this is an herb that has significant medicinal value, but you cannot go wrong with dandelion root. And, of course, the more that you walk, the more that you're able to move blood through the body. The faster that blood moves through the body, the cleaner everything is.
Okay.
You know the opposite of what I'm saying? Laying on the couch all day long or sitting in a chair doesn't help you detoxify.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have found roasted dandelion tea at the store. Oh, my gosh. That's my all-time favorite right now.
You know what? You're the only one that's ever going to say that. Everybody says, Dr. Morgan, have you tried this? It tastes like dirt.
Oh, no. I like it.
Good. Good job. Which store do you buy that at?
I live here in Palestine. I buy it at Brookshire's, but I think I found it at Walmart also.
You mean they let you purchase that in Palestine? I thought that was banned by executive order of the president.
No. We slipped it in there.
Okay, good. I like your plan.
Yeah, he's a few miles away, so what he doesn't know.
And plus today, the gentleman has a cold, and so he's taking over-the-counter cold medicine so he can continue touring the country. Which I hope he recovers quickly from his cold. I just heard that on the news before I went on.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that one lay right there.
Anyway, moving right along. So I think with your friend, if she said she had horrible nausea, and I realize this is like another desperate try, but I'd probably take a tablespoon of raw honey and swallow it. I know it's sugar, but if the nausea's bad, that may knock it out instantly.
Okay. She also said that she had a rash, and of course, this is, I believe it's
well,
been
you're,
breast cancer.
You're going to have a rash when toxins
right.
are coming out. So
right.
I really do wish her the very best, and unfortunately, we're just out of time. But if you call next week, we'll pick it right back up again, okay?
Thank you, dear.
Yes, thank you very much. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.